Cool. So what have we been talking about? Let's see. I've asked this every week for about 20,000 billion gazillion weeks. So what are we talking about? The family plan, yeah, and how the Bible revolves around relationships and tells us how to have healthy, God-honoring relationships. And what's the very first, most important relationship for us? Yeah, relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and everything's built on that. And what are some of the different other relationships we've talked about so far?
Boyfriends.
Dating? We're in the dating part right now, yeah. What else, though? Family, obviously, yep. What? Friends. And then next week we're going to talk about marriage. And actually next week we finish our family plan series. No more relationship talk. So sad. You'll have to do that like over tea with your girlfriends and stuff and whatever you do with crumpets and all that. I don't know. I keep trying and I keep failing. I don't know what girls do. One of these days I'll get it right. So what are some things we learned about when we talked about family? What are some really key things that we stressed that God says this is what needs to happen within families? Any ideas? Good. I'm glad all of you have healthy, thriving families. I mean, you're using this. Did anybody listen? Come on. I know it's in there. I can see wheels turning. People are right there. What? Somebody said it. Over here.
Honoring.
Yes, honoring your mom. What does honor mean? Yes, it deserves an applause. That one was tough. It was like laying an egg, but we got it out. Okay, so honor your parents means to actually treat them in a way that shows them what their value is. Mom and Dad, you're worth it to live like this. You're worth it to honor, to listen to, and respect. So honor and obey your parents. What else? What is your responsibility within your family? Take care of your family. Junior high is like, how am I going to take care of my family? I was like, you're not too young. And you're never too old. When you're 90, your job is still to take care of your family. When you're 5, your job is still to take care of your family in your own unique ways that God's gifted and allowed you to do that. But it's still family's responsibility to care for family. So that includes you. So in what ways are you caring for your family? Or are we kind of those people who's like, yeah, their job is me right now. They take care of me. Or are you giving back? How about friends? What are a few things we learned about friendships? They are important. Choose the right one. Hang the right crowd. What is the right crowd? What is right? What is good? Ooh, I can do this all day. What? Godly people? People that honor God by the way they live? What else? They're honest? They keep you accountable. They push you to be more like Jesus. They're not the crowd that says, hey, come do all this sin with me because it's fun and pleasurable and forget Jesus. They're the crowd that says, hey, listen, how can we honor God the most? And some of you are like, that sounds boring. Well, sorry. You know, I don't know what to tell you there. Your heart needs to repent because the deal is that God calls us to friendships that not only you choosing friends that help push you to Jesus, but that you be a friend that pushes people toward Jesus. Because we studied before that we should keep our eyes focused on things above and not on things of this earth. We need people to help us along that journey. We need friends that'll come alongside us and to remind us, keep looking up. Keep looking at Christ. We have plenty of friends and people around us. And like we saw last week, the media and our culture and our world, we've got plenty of that telling us to sin. We don't need any more of that. We need a few people to come around us and go, listen, there's a better way. And to keep pushing us toward Christ. So we looked at a whole bunch of stuff about friends, and we've been talking about dating and sex and purity and temptation, and we've had some guest speakers and some videos, all to bring us up to tonight. And what we're going to look at tonight is the essential ingredient in relationships. And we're not just specifically talking about dating, even though that's the topic for tonight. But this essential ingredient is good for every single relationship you have, whether it be with mom and dad, whether it be with God, whether it be with your future spouse. The wisdom of God is the essential ingredient to your life and your relationships. And if you don't have the wisdom of God at the very core of that, then you're probably destined to fail in every single one of those because they won't be built on anything that can last. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Proverbs 3:13 is where we're going to start real quick. Pop open there or click open there or whatever you're going to do. It's on the screens, Proverbs 3:13. It says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. Well, that's what we're talking about tonight. So that's good. I'm glad we used a verse that actually applies. And the one who gets understanding. What's the word blessed mean?
Good.
Anybody use that often? You're sitting in English class and you're like, I feel so blessed today. Like, what does that mean? Any ideas? Anybody have another version of the Bible that might give a different word there? You're all like flipping over, changing versions real quick. That's okay, do it, cheat, it's okay. Cheating's great. Not. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, because you know. All right, I'll help you out. Another word for blessed is happy. Could be joyful. It gives this idea that your life is complete and joyful and you're able to be happy because you have been blessed. All right? Really tricky, isn't it? That's a tricky thing to understand. Blessed is the one. So if you want a happy, successful life where you look back and one day you're like, wow, that's my life back there. I'm looking back at it. Will you be able to stand there and go, man, I had a blessed life. Like I'm content with what I see when I look back. Or will one day you stand on the other side and when you're like 60, 70, 80, whatever years old, and you're looking back at a bunch of years behind you, are you going to go, whoa, what did I do? Like, that's a mess. How did I end up here? If you want to be blessed and be able to see true success in your life, not just a success like the media tells you, like we talked about last week, but this week we're looking at, well, if the media is wrong, then what is true blessing? Well, blessed is the one who finds what? Wisdom. You probably don't think of that every day. You wake up in the morning like, all right, let's go get some wisdom today. Like, you don't think that. You drag yourself to school, and that's just knowledge. But wisdom, like, oh my goodness, it's probably not what you think of as you're eating your Fruit Loops in the morning. I need some wisdom today so I can be blessed. Like, but the deal is that if we truly want to look back at our lives and go, hey, this was a success. I'm content with this, and I see that I've been blessed. You've got to have the key ingredient, which is God's wisdom. Now, a bunch of us have probably a whole bunch of different definitions of what we think wisdom is. So, what are a few of them? What is wisdom? Any ideas? Does anybody know? Is there any wise person in here who can tell me what wisdom is? Huh? You're looking it up. Okay. Ooh, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Absolutely. And so, I can have a bunch of different definitions. I can think wisdom is just like being really smart. I can be like a great scientist. I can be like that gray-bearded wizard from, what's that guy? What's his name? Tell me. I forgot his name all of a sudden. Gandalf, thank you. I don't know how I forgot that. It's embarrassing I forgot that. You know, whatever you got to be. No. Wisdom, true wisdom that we're talking about here that leads to a blessed life is fearing God. Knowing what God's steps are for you, because God does have plans for you. You might be sitting here tonight and you're like, I get plans for me. Cool. But do you know God's plans for you? Now, you might be able to tell me your whole list of who you're going to marry and what you're going to drive and what kind of job you're going to have and all this stuff, what school you're going to go to. Sweet. But do you know what God's plans are for you? He's got big ones. They probably make your plans look puny. Have you taken a minute to ask and say, God, what are your plans for me? Give me some of your wisdom in my life. Because it's so easy to rely on your own. And I'll tell you what, as an adult, and you can ask any adult in this room, is the more you depend on your own wisdom, the more you realize how wrong you are, like we saw last week. If you're wise in the world's eyes, become a fool, it says, so that God will see you as wise. And so we're looking at true wisdom tonight. And Psalm 32:8 tells us how we get it. Any ideas? How do we get wisdom? What do you think? If it's the fear of the Lord, how do I get wisdom? Good. We picked a good topic tonight because we all need this, right? You can't have a successful life unless you have wisdom, and none of us know how to get wisdom, so we need to learn this. Does anybody have an idea from reading that verse? How do you get wisdom? It's gone. It's a trick. Reading the Bible, getting understanding. What does this say here? I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Yeah. Wasn't there a guy in the Bible who God was like, you can have anything you want, just ask it. And what did he ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom. It's important. He knew it. And listen, all you got to do is ask God. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with what? What is that last part? My eye upon you. What is that like? That's gross. Like, here, take my eye. What does his eye upon you mean? God desires that you be wise And God wants to teach you how to be wise and how to have wisdom. And he's not like this God. He's up there like, hey, you know what? You should really live a certain way. And I'll write it down real quick and throw this book down there for you to read and figure it out if you can. You know, we read the Bible as sinners and it says that it's foolishness to us. If we just read it as sinners without knowing Jesus Christ and having the Holy Spirit, we can't read it and understand what it really says. It's mystery and foolishness. We need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes up. God literally is the one who teaches us and shows us what truth is. And God wants to teach us. It says he keeps his eye on you. He's not like, figure it out. He's like, you know what? You need wisdom. And I want to teach it to you. And I'm going to walk you through it. My eye will be on you as you learn this. Wisdom's important. I know it might be the last thing most of us ask for. It's probably not the top on your Christmas list, but maybe it should be. Maybe some of us are living too much in the pleasure side of things, that we're having so much fun, we're blinded, like we talked about last week, to what actual truth is. And one day we're going to be those people. We're going to look up and go, what did I do to my life? We need some wisdom. And God says, I want to give it to you. So look with me real quick in Matthew 7. This is where we're going to camp out tonight. This is kind of be our passage. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to hear what God says about wisdom. Start in verse 24. You guys will recognize this once we start to read it. You probably sang the song and did little hand motions when you're in like children's church or whatever. And here already doing them. Yes. All right. So I'll read the first verse. You guys tell me what song it is. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Yeah? You know the song? The wise man built his house upon the rock, right? And the rain came down, and the wise man built his house on the... No, the foolish man built his house on the sand, and what happened? Walls came tumbling, and then everybody gets to yell, right? Smash! Or whatever you yell for that part. Anyway, it's fun. It's a good song. But it's not just a kid's song. It's not just a kid's song. Sometimes we reduce it to that. Sometimes we think wisdom is just something old people talk about. Something that some boring pastor preaches about on Sunday morning. It's too big of a word for me to even carry. I got to dust the cobwebs off that word because who even knows what that means? But we're seeing that wisdom is the key ingredient to your life. There should be some urgency in that. You can't have a successful life in God's eyes if you don't have his wisdom. You know what that means? That means that you are doomed to fail. Your life is doomed to collapse. You will be that person. There's no doubt. You will be that person that looks back and goes, I am crushed. What did I do? You have to have God's wisdom to be blessed. And I pray tonight that as you sit here, that you really listen. I pray that you really hear and you really take this subject serious, because it may be one of the most important, other than the fact of salvation itself, that we ever talk about in here. Wisdom is an essential ingredient to your life that is made up of relationships. So Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Notice the first phrase. Everyone who hears these words, like you're doing tonight, I'm sitting here and I'm telling you something. I'm telling you it's important, and it's not Rob Jones's words. It's coming directly from the Word of God. And you're hearing it. And you probably do other Wednesday nights. And you might in other churches that you go to, or on Sunday mornings, or in Sunday school, or from parents. You hear. Great. That's half the battle. But so many of us stop there. You come and you listen, and you hear how important it is, and you're told exactly what's going to happen. God himself tells you, promises you, your life will end up this way if you continue down this path. And then you walk out the door. That's where the choice begins. What will you do as you leave the stairs? Because this says the person who hears these words of mine, and it doesn't stop there, it says, and does them. We hear a lot. If you're a churchgoer, you hear a lot. You've heard sermon after sermon and every illustration in the book, and you probably know every praise song and every word. But there's a difference between being a churchgoer. Good for you. I'm glad you're in church. Don't get me wrong. That's not a bad thing, but it's bad if you stop there. Because he doesn't just call us to hear. He says, and does them. Live out the truth that you're hearing. As you sit here and hear these words, don't just sit and let it go over your head. Hear it. That's important. But don't stop at just hearing either. Walk out the door and do. Now that's an action word, right? That's not like a sit there and clap a song. And this is do. Take the truth that you have and do something with it. Act upon it. So here's my question. You're like, yeah, I get that, Rob. Cool. All right, let's see if you really do. Talked a few weeks ago about family. How many of you went home and said, look, honestly, between me and God, I get some messed up stuff in my family, in my own heart, that needs to get fixed. And I heard the truth. So when I go home, I'm going to do something about it, and I'm going to make a change. How many of you said, hey, when we talked about friendship and accountability, I know there's some unhealthy friendships in my life. So when I leave, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to confront those friends and bring them truth. Or I'm going to get those friends out of my deep circle because they can't be there. Any of you guys do that? We've talked about dating, and some of you have some unhealthy dating relationships and dating habits. And we heard about those things, and we heard the truth. Did you leave here, and did you go, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to fix this tonight? When was the last time you heard a sermon and you heard the word of God and truth preached and you left and said, I'm going to do something about this that I heard tonight? We're really good at listening. Entertain me. It's like we come to church and we're like, I'm going to watch TV for a few minutes and hear some stories or watch a band play. We're great at that. We do it every night when we go home and sit on the couch. God didn't call you to come to church to sit on a couch. God called you to hear truth so you could do something about it. So how much are you doing about the truth you're hearing? Don't sit here and look at me and shake your head and be like, yeah, I got that, I get that. When you're doing nothing about it, you don't get it. God calls us to action. And so he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, look at what he says about people like that, will be like a wise man. And he doesn't just say you'll be a wise man. He says you'll be like this particular certain wise man he's about to talk about. Wisdom comes when you don't just hear truth, you act upon truth. You know how to use the knowledge and the truth that you get. You don't sit there with it. You do something with it. And you'll be like this particular guy, and look what it says about him. You know the story. Who built his house on the rock. Now, foundations are an interesting thing, right? Because why is the foundation so important? Anybody know? Josh? Yeah, it stands on it. It stands on this thing. And so it's an important thing. It says next in the verse, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. Imagine a house that's sitting on rock. It has a nice, strong, solid foundation. And winds come and blow on it and water comes, but it's standing on a solid foundation. That thing's impenetrable. It's not going to move. But what if it's not? What if the foundation's no good? What if it's built on straight sand? What's going to happen? Now, I Googled this because I wanted to see some illustrations, and this kind of helped me visualize what we're talking about. If you guys check out this video real quick.
This woman has been forced to seek refuge on top of her trailer. The farmer was on a routine trip to sell watermelons when a fast-flowing river caught her unawares in Shandong province. Chinese firefighters managed to get her a life jacket, and then, when they were safely attached and held, pulled her from the fruit carrier. After disappearing under for a few seconds, she was eventually dragged to safety. Her rescuer shouting for more support. China has been suffering from torrential rains for days. The force of nature, ferocious and unstoppable. In Sichuan province, buildings succumb to the elements. This man told state TV many people left a four-story building in the path of raging floodwater. The next morning, buildings had collapsed. A worker had been on the roof of one of them and was swept away. Another four are also missing, while the overall death toll has climbed beyond 200. More of this is set to come as China braces itself for Typhoon Suliq, set to hit land on Saturday. This woman has been forced to seek refuge on top.
That's what I picture. As we read this, it talks about the rain falling and the floods coming and winds blowing and beating on the house. And that's what I picture. And I think that's the picture probably in the mind of the writer here. As we're told this story, that's the picture. Can you picture your life being that building? What do you do with a house? You live in it. Your life is that house. And as these houses collapsed with people in it, people are being crushed under the weight of the houses. People are getting dragged away in the water, and they're drowning by the force. Did you see that thing that was it looked like a river, but it's going down a street. That wasn't a river. That was their road. That's some crazy storm weather coming. That's big floodwaters wiping buildings away. Did you see that one building just disintegrate? And the power of that storm? Now, as we look at our life, and there's a comparison being made between that, what we saw, and your life. Picture as the rainwater comes. And what is the rain? What is that water? Whether it be temptation and sin, whether it be hard times and a broken heart, whether it just be trials that life brings your way, whatever it might be across that spectrum, that's the wind. That's the rain. That's what's beating down on you, trying to destroy your building and crush it. And based on what you've built your foundation on is whether or not you'll stand. Will your life collapse and crumble on top of you? Will you stand at the end of it and look and say, man, what did I do? How did I get here? And you tell me, Rob, it's just one choice. It's just one decision. But whether you make a choice or not, whether you make a good one or a bad one, it's going to be this block that you're laying on a foundation. And you're going to pick up either a crumbled, broken, cracked, horrible rock, and you're going to stick it down and just say, oh, it's just one, no big deal. It's just one. But what happens once you start to put others on top of that one crushed rock? There's more and more weight on it. It's holding more and more weight. And that one terrible decision, those couple little spotted decisions that you were like, no big deal, all of a sudden begin to affect your whole building. And it might stand for a while things are cool, while things feel good, while there's like, man, I'm having so much fun right now. It's awesome. It doesn't say that the buildings fell down when the sun was shining and everything was great and there were little crickets outside. Like, it says that as the wind beat on this thing like a hurricane, as the floods began to wash out and erode this foundation, as life beat this thing down, that's when it shows up. So some of us can easily sit here even tonight and go, man, this doesn't even apply to me. Because everything's good for you right now. It's sunshine and roses. Cool, good for you. But I feel so bad for you when the rain actually hits. Because that's when the stress cracks form. Because that's when it tests you and tells you whether or not you've actually built a real foundation or a pile of rubble. Wisdom says that as I make my choices each block, I go and say, God, what do you have for me here? Lord, help me to make wise decisions in the way I act toward this guy or girl, whoever it is that I'm going to go out with tonight. Do I have guidelines set up in my life that are going to keep me healthy in the way that I interact with this person? Have I already thought out a plan of how I'm going to honor you in the way I interact with them? Am I going to guard my heart in this relationship? Have I begun to honor God in the way I make my choices so I can start setting down good, solid blocks on a rock-hard foundation? Or am I just going, oh, we'll just play it by ear and we'll just see what happens? Or this is fun and this is pleasurable. Let's just throw that block down there. Because it'll stand. You might get that thing up pretty high. Till temptation comes. till a hard time hits you. Till all of a sudden you get your wake-up call and you find out what your foundation is really made of. And then you're looking back going, man, this thing crumbled. Or I'm so glad I asked God as I went into this. I'm so glad I sought out His wisdom as I laid these blocks in my life and made these choices. And so this guy's honored because he built his house on a solid foundation, which is the truth of God. He didn't just hear. He took the blocks and he put them down and he did. He obeyed the word of God. Then all of a sudden we see this other guy. Because it had been found on the rock. And then it says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. That's the easy part. That's the easy category to fall in for us. I could be here tonight and I can hear the words and I can hear that it's what I need to do and I can even be convinced until I leave and the second I walk out the door, boom, it's just like, what am I eating dinner for dinner? And then I make no changes in my life and the next week I come back and, oh, I was going to do something last week and it blew my mind. And then I leave again and then I forget when I walk out the door until eventually I'm like, you know what? I never took any of this serious. Tonight might not be the night the Holy Spirit's calling you to say, hey, take it serious. Do. Don't just hear. Respond to truth and do something about it because it's easy to be this guy. It's easy to be the one who hears and doesn't do anything about it. You don't change the way you interact with your family. You don't honor your parents. You're still hanging out with that same group of friends and doing the same things with them. You're not working on your relationship with Christ. You're not getting into the Word. You're not praying. You're not spending time with God. You're not choosing the right people to go on dates with. You're not making guys respect you the way you deserve to be treated. And guys, you're not respecting girls the way... And all of these things start to build up and these terrible blocks are formed and we get a big pile of rubble. Because we were the people who hear and we did nothing. And the Bible says... That person will be like a foolish man, a specific one again, who built his house on sand, like those buildings we saw. Terrible foundation for a building. The second the water comes, it's eroded, and the foundation is gone, and the sand's gone, and those things crumble straight down. That could be, let me change that. That will be your life if you're not building it on God's solid rock. It says, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against the house. Notice that there's no difference between what happens to this guy's house and what happened to the guy who built it on solid rock. It wasn't like, I'm going to do the good life. And as long as I'm living the good life, going to church and stuff, I don't do drugs, and I don't steal from 7-Eleven, and I don't do whatever. I'm not that guy, so I'm cool. I'm a church goer. I must be this guy over here. That stuff won't happen to me. But notice the same exact stuff happened to both people, however you want to classify them. The same rain came on both of them, good or bad, quotes. The same wind beat on them. The same sin and temptation in hard times comes to every single one of us in this room. Whether you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you're living it, whether you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're not living it, or whether you don't even believe in Jesus Christ, everybody faces those same winds and rain. We all do. We live in the same broken universe. How will your building stand when it comes? You see, it's not the problem where the difference is found. Our problems. We have the same problems. The difference is in the solution to those problems. See, if you believe in Christ and you're following after His wisdom and doing something about it, your solution is Jesus. And that stands. But guess what? If you're not following after Christ, well, your solution is everything else that makes really terrible construction materials. You're grabbing garbage to build your foundation with. You got some sticks thrown in there. You got some trash thrown in there. You've got whatever you can put your hands on because you're getting dragged down a river and you're reaching out and don't even know it and just grabbing whatever you can to build a foundation and it's not going to stand. But if you're looking and saying, God, I want your wisdom, you're able to actually have Him in your choices The supernatural power of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit himself, is helping to guide and direct you. Remember, he says, I will teach you. You're asking him, God, teach me. Don't just tell me these things. Show me these things as you keep your eye on me, like it says in Psalms. Help me actually make these decisions. Be a part of my life and guide me so I can have a solid foundation. That doesn't mean some of you guys are like, that means I'm going to be like a nun or some choir boy and I'm never going to move or have fun or anything at all. That's not what it means at all. It means that you're actually going to be able to be free to enjoy life because you're following God in the right way and you don't end up a broken mess. I could introduce you to a whole lot of people that show up and talk to me. They say, Rob, I don't understand why my marriage fell apart and my family and my kids hate my guts and I lost my job and I have nothing left. How did I get here? I'm like, why are you asking me? I mean, I know the answer. You built your life on sand. Was God in your choices? Did you seek out God's wisdom? Did you ask him? How many of us want to end up in that spot? You want to end up divorced in a broken family with your kids hating you and losing your job and having no hope in life and wanting just for it all to end. Anybody voluntarily want that for you? It'd be ridiculous for us to say yes. But we're looking at the choice and we're still choosing that. Why would you voluntarily choose the sand? But God's saying, you have a choice. Choose the rock. Build this life on rock. And you know the awesome thing that you guys have going for you? You're young. You got so many blocks left to lay. You've got so many choices that are in front of you where you can do this right. But let's get real. There might be some of us tonight that you're like, Rob, my building's already crashed. It's already tumbled over. You're too late. It's not too late. You know what your next step is? You go, God, I've messed this thing up. The hard times came and my building fell, but you know what? I need you to rebuild this thing. Put this life back together. You know, sometimes he takes a mess and he makes it so awesome. And you're like, how could that ever happen? It's kind of like, can you guys show these pictures real quick? I found these buildings too when I was looking up stuff on the internet. And like, what? How does that stand up? Like, you look at something like that and you're like, wait a minute. That's impossible. Something like that has to have a really, really good foundation. And a really, really smart architect or engineer to be able to design something like that that could still stand. It doesn't seem possible. Look at this next one. How does that thing not fall over? Like, really? It's doing this. Like, that doesn't seem real. But it has a foundation that can support it. It had an architect who knew enough to design it that way. Look at this next one. This one's not quite as impressive. Sorry, Manny. But, you know, it's there. Like, it's like, wow, that doesn't look like it. But here's the deal. You can't even see the foundations of these things. Sometimes it's not visible. And you can't see the architect. But you know it had to have one. It's got both. You have an architect. You have an architect who drew blueprints and plans for your life. And they're awesome. And sometimes you can't make sense of it. You're like, how is this mess ever going to stand, God? Like, have you met me? How are you going to resurrect this life? But this architect knows every detail about you and just how to get you to stand so beautifully that it will awe the world when they see your mess get brought back to life. But it's a choice. Keep trying to do it on your own. Figure out relationships on your own. Do life on your own, or go to the one who actually knows and say, make me stand. Rebuild this foundation for me. And go to God as you try to make your decisions. There's a smart, very godly guy. You guys have probably heard of him, hopefully. If not, I'm going to keep saying his name so you get to know some of these old guys who are really godly. Spurgeon. When I say Spurgeon, you guys are like, yeah, here's per couple of some of you are like, yeah, I know. If you don't know, remember his name. He's awesome. I'm going to quote him a lot. Spurgeon said this: wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. But But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. I think of guys like Stephen Hawking. You guys know who that is? Man, Stephen Hawking, probably the smartest guy to have ever lived, I guess, in my book. He wrote a book once that mathematically and scientifically he was able to prove God, and he thought he had proved God. So he wrote a book about it. He's like, there has to be a God. It was called The God Theory. And this book, he had found it. A little bit later, he's like, I did some more research. And the more I figured it out, he wrote another book and he said, I changed my mind. He's like, I believe that there's a God, but it's not the God of the Bible. He has no personality. It can't be what most people think of God. And it's probably, and he started to give all these other theories. And he totally kind of recanted of his theory. A dude who's so smart, who almost proves it, he's that close. And he totally missed it. A guy who had so much knowledge, it makes me can't fathom it. But yet, he had zero wisdom. He totally missed it. Don't be satisfied with knowing. As Spurgeon says, that just makes you a bigger fool, like we saw last week. You might be really, really wise in the world's eyes. Be willing to become a fool to the world so God will look and see your wisdom. What's your choice? I just want to ask you that question as I leave you tonight. Close your eyes real quick for me. This is between you and God, you and yourself. Don't talk to your friend right now. Don't be that friend who doesn't push people towards Jesus and distracts. Just sit quietly for a second. Pull your friend's hair when you leave after this, okay? The choice is yours tonight. I want to give you a second to make it. I want to give you a second to think right now and say, what have I actually done with the truth that I've been hearing? Am I the person who's doing life and doing my relationships based on me and what the world tells me? Or am I the person that hears it and now I'm going to go take God's truth and really do something? And if you haven't, don't feel bad. Just talk to God and say, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to leave here tonight and do something. God, convict my heart of the sin in it. Convict my heart of decisions and choices I need to make. Tell me, guide me. And give me the willingness to leave and really respond and really do it. Y'all, you're wasting your time if you're coming here on Wednesday nights and you're just listening. Don't bother coming. You don't hear that very often, do you? Don't waste your time. Instead, come and be a person who hears and says, God, I'm really willing to do something. And if you're here tonight, you're like, Rob, I don't even know Jesus. I don't have a foundation. Will you please not leave this place tonight without speaking with me or an adult in this room or a leader and just say, how do I know Jesus? How do I find out how to have true wisdom? We would love to talk to you about who Jesus Christ is. Will you pray with me? Father, we all face choices and we're all sitting here together in your presence, Lord. And we ask you, Father, to give us your wisdom, not just your knowledge. Please, God, help us to be people that live for you. People that acknowledge that you've saved us from sin and from death. Don't let us keep living for death. God, empower us with your Holy Spirit to be people that go out and act on this truth that we're hearing. Make us different. Make us fall passionately in love with you and change our lives because of it. God, we love you so much and we thank you for Jesus. God, I pray that if there's someone in this room that doesn't know you, please, God, don't let them leave this place without finding out who Jesus Christ is and surrendering their heart to him. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.